Amen. You can be seated this morning. But not before we ask you to pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I know, Father God, there's a message in this. Father God, I'm praying, Lord Jesus, this is a timely word for the entire church, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would go and you'd touch, Father God, each and every person. You know right where we're at in human history, God. We can't waste time, Lord God, anymore. We've got to redeem the time, for the days are evil, the Bible says. Father God, let every word be a sharp and piercing arrow, Father God, to our hearts. Father God, that does two things. It goes in and cuts, and as it's pulled, it heals. Father God, in the name of Jesus, would you do a work, Father God, in this moment, in this church, and in the churches, and on the radio, and across this nation, Father God. Would you do it right now in Jesus' name? And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to look at this first chapter. There's so many things I found in this little short book of Jonah. It doesn't take you but 5 minutes to read the book of Jonah, but there's just so much stuff. But God really began to start speaking to me. Now let's look at the theme. And I really believe what God is saying in this is God is in control this morning. He's in control of your situations. He's in control during plagues. He's in control during famines, okay? He's in control even of fish. We're going to see that. So I might be preaching to the little kids today. Are you a child of God? Then you guys can probably receive today, amen? God's in control of fish, amen? We're going to see that today. We're going to trust God and see what he has to tell us today. Praise the Lord. He says, arise. The word of the Lord comes and he says, arise. He's speaking to his prophet in the Old Testament. He's saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city that was filled with people that were not Hebrews, people that were not like us, people that had Phoenician gods, and they worshiped the different Dagon, they worshiped different gods. Nineveh was built by Asher in the days following the flood of Noah. It was the capital of Assyria. It was situated on the Tigris River. It was first called Nina. And then the patron goddess of the city named it Nineveh, okay? You're going to find it in your Bible, both in Jonah and in Nahum. The prophets speak of a town and a city, a great city called Nineveh. And in this place, a directive was given from the word of the Lord in verse 1 saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, prophet, that great city, and this is what I want you to do, cry against it. Notice he didn't say, go there and whisper something. He didn't say go there he said preach the preaching that I am going to tell you to preach. You go and you proclaim. I want to look at that word cry in the Old Testament Hebrew. And it means this, to call forth these people. In other words, preach and proclaim and pronounce and publish and go to this place of spiritual deficiency where they do not worship our God. These are people, these are outsiders. You talked about the Samaritan this morning. These are outsiders beyond. This would be like going to Islam. This would be like going into a totally different area, you guys, and proclaiming the gospel. God's interested in going into all the world. Somebody say amen. And preaching the gospel. God's interested in the 1040 window. He's interested in the Chinese. Amen. And guess what? It's blowing up there. Amen. There are Chinese Christians getting saved in droves today. Amen. They're getting saved in Saudi Arabia. And I want to tell you, my friend Creston Tomlin told me that as he went to the underground church, I told you guys this last night, that there's so much faith in the underground church in Saudi Arabia that sickness cannot survive. As people walk into the threshold of a room like this filled with probably 100 or 200 or 300 people, as people walk in, halt, lame, maimed, sick, whatever, diabetes, as they walk through the threshold, they're instantly healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the faith that they have. Why? Because they signed their death warrant to be a Christian in that place. They're not relying on anything else. They have no other distraction. They worship no other idol than Jesus Christ. He said the songs and the singing are like angels. You've never heard singing like this. This is coming from a worship leader. He's talking about this. You've never heard the angelic voices that chime in and sing as people that have sold out to God, move in the power of God, and everything's healed just like it was in the New Testament. Everything's healed like it was in the book of Acts. Can you believe that that place exists on planet Earth? It does, church. You may never be able to go there. COVID or whatever else may never allow the travel. But I'm telling you, there are places and pockets in this world where God is absolutely alive. And all I know is right where I am. I want to draw a circle in the sand and say, I want God to be alive here and now, wherever I'm at. Amen. John Bunyan said, anywhere where Christ is a kingdom now for me. So if I can get here and Christ is in me, it's a kingdom of God on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Somebody start to help me preach a little bit this morning. Amen. He said, go proclaim and pronounce and publish and cry against it. Against it. This illustrates the mercies of God. God is not going to allow any man to perish without sending somebody to preach the gospel to him, to warn them. Every gospel preacher that ever was sent in the world today is an act of mercy of God. Every prophet in your Bible, every book of your Bible is an act of mercy of the Holy One that God does not want to put and damn people to hell without giving them an opportunity to know his name and to believe by faith. Somebody say amen to that. We serve a God of mercy, and God knew Jonah would have a little bit of problem with this. Now look at this. Jonah knew that his God was merciful, and that's why he was fleeing. He did not want him to show mercy to his enemies. Wow, look at this now. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. You know what the next verse says? But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah knew that his God was merciful. And Jonah had a little bit of problem in his spirit. Jonah wanted these people annihilated. He wanted these people taken out. These people did not deserve to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These people did not deserve the grace and the mercy of an almighty God. And yet the directive was given. Jonah was called. And yet, what's Jonah doing here in this verse? Now, we know they're wicked because at the end of verse 2, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. You guys see any wickedness in the land right now? For their wickedness has come up before almighty God. So what does God do? What's his mode? He sends a what? A prophet with a message to these people in this hour. Dear God, let there be prophets raised up in this hour to send forth the message of an almighty God. But it's a God that loves people. It's a God of mercy. It's a God of impending power and judgment. It's a God of wrath. But God doesn't want to pour out wrath. He wants to pour out mercy. Why? What's the evidence? He sends a Jonah. Amen. Now, Jonah's having trouble with this. Wow. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Three times it's mentioned here, the presence of the Lord. I want you guys to underline that. From the presence of the Lord. It's kind of dangerous when you start to flee from the presence of the Lord, Rosie. We need the presence of the Lord every day in our life. We need the love of Jesus. We need the Spirit of God to give us the love of God. Did you know that? Can't have it without it. He went down to Joppa. Joppa means beautiful. He went down to go do something else. He went to follow something else that was beautiful. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, verse 3. So he paid the fare. So he was bought off by something beautiful. And he went down to take a cruise line to get away from the presence of the Lord. Wow. It's interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The Lord sent a mighty tempest. I believe that if you look at the country right now, you look at the hurricanes, you look at the fires, you look at the pillars of fire, you look at the flooding, you look at the famine, you look at the pestilence, you look at the coronavirus, and you start to look out just like I'm looking out, you'll figure out that the Lord is allowing some things in this country right now. Amen? Do you believe it, and do you see it? The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. That could be a storm in your life. You talked about, sang about a storm. Through the storms, He is Lord over all. Amen. God is allowing there to be a mighty tempest. That's a storm in the sea, so that the ship was likened to be broken. And doesn't it seem like almost Christianity, that old gospel ship, is like unto be broken in this hour? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? The old gospel ship of Zion. Amen. You heard that old song. Is it likened to be broken in the storms and in the wind? Can the coronavirus really bring down the church of the living God in this moment? Interesting. Verse 5, then the mariners, it says they were what? Afraid. The people, the seafaring people, the people everywhere were afraid. Boy, they were afraid. And guess what? They're so afraid that they're crying, every man unto his Phoenician god. They're crying to the gods of this earth. They're crying to their gods, the gods that people have laid down before themselves. Entertainment. And entertainment's not giving people an answer right now. Sports. And sports is not giving people the answer that they need right now. Amen. They've thrown down to their Phoenician gods. And I'm telling you, they're wanting them to speak like Dagon, but Dagon's going to fall in the face of the Almighty God. Amen. And bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they're crying to their gods, but I tell you what, by verse 16, they're going to be worshiping our God. In verse 1:16, you're going to see in just a few minutes, they're going to be worshiping and praising the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? And they cast forth their wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone out to the sides of the ship, and he was laying, and he was just fast asleep down at the side of the ship. And there's this huge... You know, there's this plague upon the earth. There's a storm brewing. There's a fire burning. Colorado's on fire. California's on fire. And there's these storms all over the place. And I would gather this, that there's a storm brewing in your life right now. I believe every single person in this room, there is a storm brewing. You may not have spoken it to anybody else, but God knows your heart in this moment. There is something going on in you today. I just believe that, and I believe that's the whole reason God gave me this message. I believe I'm going to call this message In the Belly of a Whale. In the Belly of the Whale. I believe that's the direction God is allowing the church to go into right now. And God's going to bring something out of this again. Hallelujah. And he's fast asleep. So in the storm that God sent Jonah, a type of Jesus, a type of the church, a type of the prophet, was fast asleep. I want to ask the church today, because I'm addressing the church today, are you fast asleep during the storm that God has sent? Or are you very, very much awake? Are you alert in this critical hour? Amen. Are you switched on? And are you following God with everything that you know to do? The church is in the most critical hour before the Lord's return at this very moment. Amen. And many are asleep. And if preachers don't stand up, proclaim and preach and cry against the cities in which we live in, dear God, the Christians would come alive in this hour. And if we don't pray and find an anointing in a prayer closet, dear God, to preach an unction from. Amen. We'll never change anything, my God. But many are asleep. They're dreaming of Joppa, which means beautiful. They're dreaming, when you go to sleep at night, you're dreaming of something beautiful. Maybe it's the Suburban. Maybe it's a new pickup truck. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's car gurus. Maybe it's boat gurus. Maybe it's whatever else. You know what I'm saying? You guys, I'm telling you, wake up. And while men are afraid, it says, but they're awoken by the storm. Do you see all these types here? Church, now is the time to evangelize. Why are you sleeping in this moment? Ephesians 5, just to give you another text, it says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light in Ephesians. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit in this moment. Amen. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That sounds a lot like Christianity to me. Making melody in your heart unto the Lord and giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it a time that we look at what God has given us and how he's blessed us and we give thanks? Sometimes I just walk and I see my little boy just run across the grass in our yard, or I see Keaton and he's playing and he's throwing something out in the bean field and the dog's running, and Keaton and the dog are playing for about 20 minutes just back and forth, and then they're just wrestling. And I think, dear Jesus, I don't even deserve to have a house. I don't even deserve to have a beautiful wife. I don't deserve to have children like this. I don't deserve what I have. But I want to say I'm thankful that you're so good to me. Do you ever just feel that in your heart and in your life? And it just comes across and it begins to touch you how good God has been to you through it all. Through it all. Amen. I've learned to trust in Jesus and I've learned to trust in God. Amen. Through it all. Hallelujah. Verse 6 of our text says, so the shipmaster came unto him. The shipmaster, and I believe it's a type of God he's talking to. The shipmaster comes to Jonah. He says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? In other words, what are you doing sleeping in this hour? Get up out of that bed. Get up out of that bed. Don't you see what's happening out there? There's a storm out there. There's a coronavirus out there. The world's on fire right now. You can't, man of God, prophet of God, you can't sleep in this hour. Church of God, you cannot sleep in this hour. This is the day to awaken and arise. Amen. Hallelujah. And anybody with an unction from heaven knows that preaching has to be switched on right now. And it has to be aimed at the hearts and souls of men in this hour. Dear God. Why? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Look at the verse 6. Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Call upon your God. Ask, seek, and knock. Begin to pray. Begin to fast. We could fast every night. We could have 4 or 5 nights of prayer all the time, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's prayer. It's intercession. It's fasting. Amen. It's corporate worship. Worship has power in it that few people know anything about, that we would enter in and begin to tear down strongholds. Amen. In our praise and in our power and in our weaponry. What are we doing in the meantime? We're discipling the nations and we're making people to become soldiers for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray not as a slave, but as a son. Listen to this. When my sons ask me for me something, Janet, when my boys ask Matt, I know it's the same way in your house. But if your boys ask for something, Daddy wants to give it to them. If it's not a bad thing, you know, they're not asking for a snake or a serpent or anything. They say, Dad, give me this. Dad, I need this. Dad, I guarantee you, a father and a son. That father wants to give those boys exactly what they need. He wants to meet that need. Amen? Would you come like that? Come not because you've been told by a pastor and a pastor's cracking a whip or something like that, but let a pastor encourage you to enter into relationship with a father that loves you very much and you're his dear son. Amen? That changes everything, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. The Ninevites are lost. There's nobody praying for them. Do you pray for the lost, brothers and sisters? Ask yourself, are the heathen really lost? Do you believe that they're really lost or that they're somehow going to be saved? Jonah was convinced they were lost, but he wanted to walk away, leaving them and all that behind, wanting to walk in complacency in an hour during a storm. He dismissed the responsibility to reach his neighborhood for Jesus Christ, to reach his community for Jesus Christ. Church, we cannot be that way. Statistics tell us that 2% of evangelical Christians witness and tell anybody about the Lord. So 98% of evangelical Christians tell nobody about Jesus Christ. But what if we could start to reverse those statistics? Even in this church, what if we could turn it into the 98, that we're all out for God, we're all in for God, we're telling everybody about the Lord Jesus. Amen? In love. Imagine the tables that could turn if the church became a house of prayer, and we all gathered in our homes in different groups to pray where we need to pray always. Amen?
I thank God that in this moment I've got a message of encouragement, that God's raising up people all around this world. He's speaking. He's speaking and he's calling to us. He's calling out to you. Amen. I was in last Wednesday night. An evangelist named Daryl Turner was speaking. I was in Wisconsin, I believe, or was that 2 weeks ago? I don't even remember. Time is passing so fast. And I'm just sitting there, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me things and reminding me of things even during the worship. Then he's speaking to me so directly during the message that I can almost not listen intently like I should to the word that's being preached. But he was talking to me. God was talking to me. You know what he was doing? He was solidifying the call of God on my life. I remember when we were in the Beamer Church, Beamer Community Church, and we were putting Sherwall on the east wall of the basement down there, in that I was helping you, and I had a big leather glove, like a welder's glove, and it was just full of Sherwall. It was wet. I turned around, and it was dark down there, and I grabbed a light bulb, and all of a sudden it just went, this. And instantly the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, I've called you to Nebraska to help rebuild the church of Nebraska. Spoke that to me at that very moment. I had no clue what he was talking about. But he got my attention. He always does that to me. He gets my attention through things. There was a woman that drove to Wisner, lived there for about a month. She was from the West Coast. She came into a meeting here on two occasions. She sat right there in this chair. She had a son with him. I think his son's name's Daniel. And she sat here and she said this. She said, Aaron, she said, God has told me that there's going to be revival in the Midwest. And so I moved to Wisner, Nebraska, not knowing anybody or anything. She's here for a short time. But she said she sat right there and the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and that's the man that's been praying for revival in the Midwest. And I'm sitting there in Wisconsin, and the Holy Spirit's downloading those things to me, reminding me of these things over and over, many, many, many other things. I'm not the only one that's prayed in the Midwest. Don't think that I'm that I think that, but I'm one of them, amen? And he was reminding me in that moment of the calling upon my life, the precious calling. I'm talking to you guys right now. God will talk. If you'll just get in the presence of the Almighty. I believe I just went to that meeting and God said, because you went, hunger and thirst after righteousness, I'm going to speak to you, Aaron. And guess what? In that moment, God solidified the fact that I know that I'm called, that I know that I'm anointed, that I know we have truth, that I know we're going to preach it to the end. And this is going to be a powerful church. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, many are going to come and many are going to go because we're such a church that's going to preach the truth. There's going to be an unction. And you guys told me just the other hour, the reason that you're coming here is because there's a liberty in the Spirit. There can be a moving of God in the Spirit. The reason that you've come here, where's Broderick? The reason that God just told you and you texted me, the reason we're going to stay and not go to Arizona or whatever, is because God is moving and there's a liberty for the Holy Spirit to move at West Point Family Worship Center. Well, you guys say continually, every time he testifies, he says, it's because you guys have plowed and plowed and plowed and plowed and plowed to make this an environment where the Holy Spirit can move and operate. Are you with me on that? The Holy Spirit spoke to me in 2004. I was turning left on from Highway 9 to Highway 51. And he said, Aaron, I want there to be a Spirit-filled church in West Point, Nebraska. I said, dear God, who do you want to preach? Who do you want to pastor? I was going to pray for the man of God, that God would send one. And I did. And he sent one to Wald Hill, Nebraska. That's where we were currently. Amen? I remember that prayer. God spoke to me. I've shown you the man of God and who it's going to be. There's a church there today. Amen? But the finger got pointed back to me about this one. Then Duke Down said, Aaron, if there's going to be a church in northeast Nebraska, it's going to come out of your family. Nobody else. If there's going to be life, if there's going to be hope, if there's going to be a gospel in northeast Nebraska, it's going to come out of your family. if the kids are going to be touched, if the radio people are going to be touched. I'm talking about a calling. You know what I'm saying? God will talk to you about your calling. Amen? I'm just telling you how he spoke to me. Okay? God's very interested. But I want to ask you guys, do we really, really realize that our neighbors are lost? They're lost. Your streets are lost. People, there was an attitude. Somebody said attitude here a little while ago. It was an attitude, brother, in Jonah that, you know what? It upset God. And the attitude wasn't just his outward disobedience, but it was his about the gospel. It was his indifference and complacency about the gospel, you guys. Jonah was told to go, amen, verse 1, 2. And we're told to go, amen. He was told to cry. How many of you guys are crying for your city? You're crying out that God would move in your city, amen. Church, that's what we need to pray for right now. We need to wake up. We need to fervently catch the vision of evangelism and missions. And why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard the gospel once? We need to go. And if that's the mission mind of the church, if we would go to tell everyone about the Lord Jesus that hasn't heard about it. Don't get frustrated with people in the church. Get after people that are outside the church. Amen. So Nineveh is still lost. Jonah is oblivious to the Ninevites tumbling into eternity. And I want to tell this church something today. The blood of this generation of the lost will be on the generation of these Christians. It'll be on your hands and minds. Listen, hold your hands up. Everyone in this room right now. The blood of this generation of lost will be on this generation of Christians. Your hands and mine. These early people that we talk about in the book of Acts, they reached their nation for Christ. And we must do the exact same thing. We got to know that we can do something. We could pray. Say, I can't do nothing. I'm just not much. Well, can you pray? Can you pray? Could you fast? Could you seek? Could you knock? God has given us a miracle. Amen. He's given us a miracle church. He paid off a miracle, this church, in an absolute miracle. I love to tell you that. But church, the church is open all week long. You can have your meeting on Monday morning at 8 o'clock. You can have yours at 9. You could have yours at 10 and yours at 11. On Tuesday morning, you can have yours at Tuesday at 10 a.m. You can have yours at Thursday at 8 p.m. You know what I'm saying? Church, this is our church. This is our ability. We have the ability to use and access something that God has given us. Are we worried about missions? Are we crying over our neighbors? Are we telling them about Jesus in the last ticks of history? In the last ticks of time. Do I have your attention? If we can't go, and we may not be able to go for too much longer, then we have to equip. We have to equip, so we have to disciple. Amen? And then we release people once they've been discipled to go reach the commission. Amen? So herein is our opportunity in an end-time church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Give, pray, join, and enlist other people. Church, let's focus on what needs to be focused on, and let's finish the story right now. Go to verse 6. So that shipmaster had come in and said, "Why are you sleeping? Arise and call upon your God." I believe that's a key verse for this moment in human history, and it opens up an opportunity for us all. And they said to everyone his fellow in verse 7, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." Why has this evil storm come upon this, evil tempest, this wind? Why has this happened, the mariners are wondering. Why has this happened? Why is the world shaking right now? Why the coronavirus? Why is this evil upon us? So they cast lots, and it fell upon Jonah. It fell upon Jonah. And they said, verse 8 unto them, "Tell us, we pray thee again, for whose cause this evil is upon us." What if it's for the church? What if it's to wake up a Jonah that's sleeping in the hour of the storm? What if things have to get bad enough for the church to truly come alive and come out of its graves clothes and take off the idolatry and begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What if this storm and this COVID and all this fear is just the proving ground of an almighty God for the real church to arise out of it and stand in victory in the moment, hallelujah, of opposition? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What if, church, hallelujah, he's just trying to awaken a sleeping giant that the church would stand up and be powerful and believe God in this end time? What if, church, hallelujah, it's all happening and it's your salvation and you don't realize that the trials of this life are coming to awaken your spirit man to believe only in God and to trust only in God, not in our banks and not in our education and not in our medical system and not in our masks and not in our vaccines, but in Jesus Christ and Him crucified in this hour? What if God is trying to wake up the whole world because He caused the wind and He's going to cause the whale? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe it's the wake-up call of all wake-up call. And here's the interrogation in verse 8. And I'm asking the church, I'm pointing the finger at the church, and God is pointing at all of us. What's your occupation? Where do you come from, church? What's your country, church? Do you belong here on terra firma, or is your citizenship in heaven? And of what people art thou, thou that sleepest? Oh, there's the interrogation coming from the mariners. Uh-oh, what's Jonah going to do right now? Who does he belong to? Where's his country? It's a wake-up call, the interrogation, the guilt. He's starting to be convicted right now. Jonah's coming back. He's going to, look at this, all of a sudden. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said, why hast thou done this? Look at this with me now. Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Underline it. Here it is. Why have you done this? And the men knew because he had told them that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Church, here's my question to you. Are you fleeing from the presence of the Lord in this hour? Are you fleeing from his voice? This is so important because I might not preach another sermon in this land. Are you fleeing or are you flocking? Are you getting with the messengers and the men and the fivefold ministry gifts of God? Are you going after the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors that are gifts to the church? They are gifts to the church for discipleship and fellowship and gospel and commission and prophetic words. Or are you running the moment a prophetic word is spoken? Well, I'm just afraid at FWC that they might be getting with it a little bit and the Holy Spirit may be starting to move there. Let Him move. Are you serious? Well, it's just the volume's a little bit loud, and it's, are you serious? They're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that the terra firma that has been plowed here is to allow the power and unction of the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in a church in a 100-mile radius? Do you know it's taken 10 years of dying and plowing and backbreaking, arduous prayer to allow there to be an environment where God can speak? I want to ask everybody in the church a question. Do you want to hear the voice of the Lord God? Are you tired of preaching? Do you want to hear the actual voice through tongues and interpretation? Do you want it to flow through a... Do you want prophecy in the house of God? You want God to speak then to you in the church through a surrendered, broken, humble vessel. If God can find one, He will use those gifts. Wow. Do you want that? Or is that offensive? Brother, this was happening to Jonah because Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord God Almighty. 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do with thee that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea was wrought, it was tempestuous. How do we stop the storms of life? How do we stop the beginning of sorrows? How do we stop the coronavirus? I want to tell you, you can't and you won't. You're not going to stop what God has started in this hour. We're not going back to normal living. I don't believe things are ever going to be the same in the United States of America is what I'm telling you right now. This storm that is all over the world right now in so many different areas is designed by mercy to wake you to salvation. To awaken the church unto salvation. It is the absolute mercy and love and grace of an almighty God towards every single person on planet Earth. As the earth is shaking, my God. Will you be in fear at this moment? Here, listen. Will you be in fear in this moment, or will you be in faith? You choose. God's shaking it out. He's missing. He's going to end all the gray area. It is going to be black or white. It's going to be sheep and goats. It's going to be people that want the presence of God or people that flee from the presence of God. Amen. I got people flocking and calling this ministry from everywhere, wanting the presence of an almighty God. I don't know why these three men showed up today, but that man's got his hand in the air. Dear God, because he's finally heard something, hallelujah, that's stirring his inner man. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by the Lord. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? And if you think that God, you can have your religion. I'm done with religion. I'm done with it. But if God will move by the Holy Spirit some way, somehow, and he'll touch my little daughter, and she'll get filled, and my God, God will begin to save people like he's done in the book of Acts, I'm in. Because that's the gospel that saved me. That's the gospel that changed Aaron Trimble and turned him and gave him a testimony on this planet. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Glory to God. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, for Jonah's sake. I want you guys to know that, listen, if you're in a fiery trial right now, it's for your sake. If you're in a fiery trial right now on this earth, wake up now. Hey, it's for you. It's for your sake. If you're being tried as of by fire, you're being purged, you're being pruned right now, it is for your sake that this tempest is upon you. It is for the church's sake that the tempest is upon us right now. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. And Jonah's a type here. God sees the wickedness of Nineveh. He sees this absolute sea that was created. And all of a sudden, God is going to take Jonah, this prophet, and the mariners are going to pick him up, and he's going to throw Jonah into the... I want you to imagine the biggest whirlpool. Kids, imagine the biggest whirlpool you've ever seen. And it's swirling, swirling, whirling, okay? Swirling, swirling, whirling. And you know what God did? That was a sea of sin and iniquity. It was a sea of the wrath of God. And you know who God threw into that mix? He took Jesus Christ and he threw Jesus Christ into that whirlpool so that it would pull him down into, and that Jesus would take all of the wrath of God. Jesus, the sinless Lamb, would take all of the sin of the world in that whirlpool and take it down with him and swallow it all, that you could be free. Jesus took all of our sin. Amen. We have imputed righteousness because of him, and we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We deserve, brother, to die, but Jesus Christ has allowed us to live, and he's allowed tribulation, wars, famines, rumors of wars. He said this is how it would be in the end time, and for my sake this is happening. Raise your hand to heaven right now. Tell your neighbor, this is happening for my sake. This is happening for me. This is my salvation. This is God touching me. This is God being merciful to me, shaking all the world, and he's shaking my faith. Hallelujah. And he's seeing, is it going to be fear or faith? Fear or faith? He's trying it all. Jesus is drawing Christ out of you and me. He's drawing Jesus out. When you are squeezed, what is going to come out? Jesus, amen, if that's what's in, amen. 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. Men are going to try to do everything they can, but they cannot do anything. It was too hard. They started to pray in 14. They cried. Now these same men, these Phoenician people, now they're crying unto the Lord. We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man. Lay not his sin upon us. And so they took Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased her raging. So at Jesus' word, God spares the prayerful, penitent man. He saves the sailors. He presently saves Jonah. He's got another plan for Jonah. And guess what? He's going to give Nineveh 40 days to repent. And I haven't even got there and won't get there today. Do you see how merciful God is? Do you see how merciful God is? He's got mercy for Russia today. I want you guys to know that. For the USA, for the 1040 window, for the Chinese church. He's got mercy for you and for me today. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered sacrifice and started worshiping the God of heaven and earth. Look at that. There it is, 16. They start worshiping the Lord God and making vows. Now the Lord had prepared. Isn't that interesting? He raises up the wind. He raises up the tempest. And now what does it say here? Now the Lord prepares a what? A great fish. In his providence, you guys. And he's doing this, listen, because we're all running from the presence of the Lord since Adam and Eve. Every one of us in this room, we're running from the presence of the Lord. In the church, we're running from the presence of the Lord. The Bible even speaks that at the end time, many shall not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. And they'll go find exactly what their ears are itching for. Go to Jonah chapter 2 and read verse 1. And I'm closing. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah had this moment where he just started to come to himself. Maybe it's not all about the beautiful things of Joppa. Maybe it's not a pleasure ride to Tarshish. Maybe it is what he told me originally to do, which was go to Nineveh and cry against it. Maybe there's still a commission for us. Maybe there's still a command for the church of the living God. But maybe he had to allow the wind, the tempest, the plague, and now a whale for him to come to that conclusion. Verse 2, look at this. And let's read this together. And said I, cried, by reason of mine infliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You think God's interested in getting our attention? Because he's a merciful, loving Father that will stop at nothing to take a wayward Jonah and put Jonah right back on the path of his calling for Jonah. Why? Because he cares about the Ninevites, these people that aren't even Christians. And he'll put a man in his path, and he'll do a miracle through a man of God. Amen? Just for fun, would you read chapter 3, verse 1? put it up on the board for me? 3-1. What does it say, guys? Jesus, hallelujah. Put it up there. You guys, listen. Some of us, all of us, a lot of us feel like we've missed it. We've missed God in a thousand ways. We've missed all these opportunities. I want to tell you guys, look what this is saying to us. Then the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Listen, brother. Listen, brother. You guys may have screwed up royally in the past, and so have I. God's not done. The giftings and the callings are without repentance. God is moving heaven and earth. He's doing this to his church. Jonah's a type of the church. He's swallowing the church up right now. He laid the church down like this, you guys.
You know what he was doing?
Total reset. I want the church that arises out of the corona, to be the true church. To be the church of the upper room. To be the church that won't flee from the presence of the Lord. It will not flee from the presence of the Lord ever again. It wants his voice. It's getting ready for the calling and the catching up of the saints unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's making it, the bride hath made herself ready. It's getting itself washed and purged and primed, and it wants to be the family of God. Can you see the glory of God in this? All that we're facing right now, just shake it off. It's no big deal. It's the mercy and grace of a holy God preparing his church for an eternity. And God's not done saving. Chris, you're next. If God hasn't touched you already. And then Tori. And then Creed. And then right on down the line, Jacob's healing. And my boy's healing. And oh my God. You guys, he's getting us ready for heaven. And little Maddie praying her way through to God. In the presence, as she seeks the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good, 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 good comforting word this morning? Hallelujah. Sometimes he brings us to the belly of hell so that we can be resurrected and to walk in God again. Out of the belly of a whale,